the cut-in rock and roll satirist of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, Dickie Goodman. That's our focus this week on Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed. The flying saucers are real. That was the Clatters recording, Too Real. We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown.
Take it away, John Cameron Cameron.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Pardon me, madam, would you tell our audience what would you do if the saucer were to land?
Duck back in the alley.
Thank you. And now the thin gentleman there.
What I'm gonna do is hard to tell.
The gentleman with the guitar, what would you do, sir?
Would you take a walk down the street?
Thank you. I return you now.
This is Brent, your outer space disc jockey, with a request for Earth.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
That was the Pelicans' outer space recording Earth. I've just been handed a bulletin. The flying saucer has just landed. We switch you again downtown.
Here we are again. We have with us Professor Sir Cedric Fentingmold of the British Institute. The professor is approaching the saucer to see if there's possibly any sign of life aboard.
Well, I'm sure something. Are you there?
I hear you knocking, but you can't come in.
That was Laughing Lewis's record, Knocking.
This is John Cameron Cameron on the spot. And now I believe we're about to hear the words of the first spaceman ever to land on Earth.
Oh, wah, bah, bah, loo, bah, bah, bam, boom.
And now, here are the ball scores.
4-3, 6-2, and 8-1.
The impact of seeing the first spaceman has this reporter reeling.
Here I go.
That was the Clatters again with their big one. Oh!
This is John Cameron Cameron again downtown. The spaceman has returned to his ship and is taking off. We return you now to our studios.
The flying saucer has gone. There is no threat of an invasion. However, the flying saucers are still around. We are not going to interrupt this record. Yes, we are. The flying saucer has landed again. Washington. The Secretary of Defense has just said,
"Ain't that a shame?"
That was Skinny Dynamo's record. That's a shame.
This is John Cameron Cameron Part 2. Gathered around me are several of the spacemen. Tell us, have you come to conquer the world? And now would you repeat that in English?
Don't want the world to have and hold.
Hey, why don't you go back where you came from?
Don't be angry and drive me away.
We return you now to our studios.
Here is a news item from Washington. The president has just issued a statement to the spacemen, and we quote,
"You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes."
That was Pa Gherkin's record, Shoes. We switch you again downtown.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Professor Sir Cedric of the British Institute, tell us, how were the saucers able to land?
Where do you see
motor cooled down, the heat went down?
That was Huckleberry's recording, The Motor Cooled Down.
This is John Cameron Cameron again. I believe the spaceman has a final parting word.
See you later, alligator.
We return you now to our studios.
The spacemen have gone again, but look to the skies. The saucers will always be there.
Always be there.
Goodbye, Earth people.
At this very moment, somewhere in outer space, the first Earth ship is landing on Mars.
Look at that, yeah.
Look at that.
Look at that.
This is John Cameron Cameron, downtown Mars. Thousands of Martians have come out to greet the first Earth ship.
pardon me, sir. Would you care to say a few words?
Shut your mouth. Go away.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the Martian National Anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, something seems to be happening. The giant frog monster is approaching. We can see the monster now. He's wearing
a white sport coat.
I think the monster is about to speak.
I wonder why nobody don't like me. Or is it the fact that I'm ugly?
There's only one person who can save these people now. Stepping out of the spaceship is Elvis. How do you feel about this situation?
I'm a little mixed up on the field, but
do you think you can save Mars from the monster?
Yeah.
We return you now to Earth for a message from the president.
This is Washington. The president has a message.
I'm all shook up.
We switch you now to London.
This is Sir John Cameron Cameron, downtown London. The Prime Minister has just said,
I think I'm gonna cry.
We switch you now to Moscow.
This is John Cameron Cameronovich. We're here with the Russian Chief of Staff. Have you a few words?
Dum, 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 dee-doo-be-dum.
We return you now to Mars.
This is John Cameron Cameron again, downtown Mars. Our hero has won. Wait, the monster is saying,
I feel like I could die.
Our hero is stepping back into the spaceship and is taking off.
You saved our planet, and now you're gone.
Now you go.
One more time.
Now you go.
Now for the news. The planet Mars has exploded. Martian spaceships are heading toward Earth. We can hear them inside their ships.
We're here in Washington, where the spaceships are now landing. The Martians are marching out of the first spaceship. The president is about to speak to the Martian leader.
Kooky, kooky, send me a comb.
The president has angered the Martians because they have no hair. Wait, they've grabbed the president. We can hear him now.
Turn me loose, I say.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Martian leader is threatening the president.
Give me the deed to your ranch, I'll blow you all to bits.
We return you now to our studios.
Here is a bulletin. The government has decided if the Martians are to remain on Earth, they must go to school. We now hear the Martians greeting their teacher.
Hey, lump of sugar, you look kind of sweet.
Good morning, class. Did everybody do their homework?
Yeah.
Very good. Now, what did Columbus say when he landed in America?
Going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come.
That's right. Now tell us about the Queen of England.
Well, she dances to the bop, she dances to the stroll.
And what did Lincoln say at Gettysburg?
Why must I be a teenager in love?
The Martians have passed their lessons, and they are now singing their graduation song.
Waterloo.
However, the Martians have decided to leave Earth and go to the moon. And there they go, marching back to their spaceship. It looks like the leader of the Martians has one last word to the president.
Baby, you're the ginchiest.
Into the most dangerous town of the old West Road, Wyatt Earp.
Marshal Earp! Marshal Earp!
Good golly, Miss Martin.
We take you now to the most dangerous town of the Old West.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Spacemen from a flying saucer have opened fire. We can hear them inside the ship. Wait, someone's coming this way.
La 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 la,
it's Wyatt Earp. He's riding up to the saucer.
Will you throw down your guns and come out peacefully, or I'll pick you off one by one.
The spacemen are coming out of the ship. We can see them now. They're strange-looking creatures.
6 foot high and a 1 foot thing.
I think the leader of the spacemen is going to speak.
No.
The situation looks serious. We take you now to Washington for a message from the president.
We are here in Washington at an important dinner. Ladies and gentlemen, the president has a statement.
Igor, the scalpels go on the left with the pitchforks.
Mr. President, how do you feel about the saucer invasion?
Crazy!
We return you now to the most dangerous town of the Old West.
This is John Cameron Cameron again downtown. The spacemen have Wyatt Earp and the boys surrounded. It looks like this is the end of the Old West. Wait, what's that? It's General Elvis Presley and the Army come to the rescue. The spacemen are running back to the saucer. General Elvis Presley has saved the Old West. The defeated spacemen are preparing to blast off.
And so, as the spacemen take off in the saucer, we hear their final goodbye to Earth.
Here is a news bulletin. Santa Claus has been kidnapped by spacemen from a flying saucer, which landed at the North Pole.
Be on the lookout for Santa Claus, last seen wearing
black slacks. Black slacks.
We take you now to the White House for an interview with the president. Mr. President, Mr. President.
Keep on knocking, but you can't come in.
Mr. President, have you a word on the Santa Claus kidnapping? We have just received a report from the FBI. Santa has been taken to a satellite circling the Earth. We take you now to the satellite.
This is John Cameron Cameron, downtown Sputnik. We're here in the Sputnik jail with Santa Claus. Wait, what's that sound? The satellite men are coming this way. I think the king of Sputnik is about to speak.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
Santa, have you anything to say to the satellite men?
Come on and do the jail hard rock, it'll be
that rock. Santa! 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 I know how you can escape. Disguised as Elvis Presley. Uh-oh, looks like we've been spotted. We return you now to Earth.
We are now at the North Pole, where a rocket is being launched to catch the satellite and rescue Santa.
Control tower to rocket. Prepare to blast off.
Oh, let's go!
Will the rocket be successful? Will Santa be rescued? Turn the record over and find out. The rocket sent to rescue Santa Claus has failed. With sadness, the president speaks.
Holy mackerel!
The Secretary of State has this statement.
I lose his cook, our reputation is shut.
In London, at a meeting of Parliament.
Your Majesty, have you a statement to make on this terrible tragedy?
Goodness gracious!
We take you now to Moscow.
We're here with the Premier of Russia. Comrade, the rocket has failed. What do we do now?
Come on, tomorrow night and try it again!
Here is a report from Tokyo.
This is Radio Tokyo. The Imperial Government has this message.
Ooh la la.
Meanwhile, back on the satellite.
This is John Cameron Cameron, downtown Sputnik. The satellite men are closing in. We can hear them outside saying,
it's me in or else I'll beat down your door.
Santa has just escaped through the chimney, disguised as Elvis. We return you now to Earth.
If you should look up at the sky this Christmas Eve and see a flying saucer pulling eight reindeer, chances are it's Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas, Earth people.
That was a series of so-called cut-in novelty records that created a rage in the early days of rock and roll. Generally known as the Flying Saucer Records, they were the work of a struggling New York music publisher, Bill Buchanan, and an even more struggling New York songwriter, Dickie Goodman. The basic idea for the first record was Goodman's, possibly after hearing a recording of the 1938 Orson Welles adaptation of The War of the Worlds, which had received its first release on commercial phonograph records around this time. Buchanan thought, why not have a disc jockey's radio show interrupted by reports of flying saucers invading Earth? and then interview witnesses whose responses to questions would be in the form of lines from Little Richard, Platters, and Don Cherry records. Buchanan and Goodman put that first record out, and it created a frenzy. It also got the two in legal hassles with the record companies and music publishers whose material that they had used, as they hadn't bothered to get clearances for said use before putting the records out. It was finally decided in court that, as the Buchanan and Goodman records were clearly parodies of radio programs, the records fell within the fair use provisions of American copyright laws. By the mid-1960s, Buchanan and Goodman had gone their separate ways, and there clearly was no more money to be wrung from the Flying Saucers parodies, so Dickie Goodman decided to use the form to lampoon virtually every fad and issue in American popular culture and politics, from the Batman craze to anti-war protests and even the Reagan-era presidential elections. In the mid-1970s, Goodman even produced a couple of records credited to John and Ernest, spoofing the so-called blaxploitation movies of the period, becoming a hit on soul radio stations. That latter part of Goodman's career produced records that not only were good comedy 45s, they also served as a sort of travelogue through the times they were produced in, both in terms of popular music and the subjects in newspaper headlines. What will follow is a collection of some of the better Dickie Goodman records of that period.
While Gotham City sleeps, Batman's grandmother is being kidnapped by the arch criminal known as
the Green Beret.
Commissioner Gordon dials the secret number of the Batcave.
6-3-4-5-7-8-9.
Holy smoke, Batman! They got your grandmother!
Quick, Robin, to the Batmobile.
Great Scott, Batman! Something's heading right for us! Here it comes!
Here it comes, your 1930.
Holy cow, Batman! I've wrecked the Batmobile!
Come here, baby. Scratch my back.
No time for that now, Robin.
Look, Batman! It's the Green Beret and Grandmother!
I'll save her, Robin.
Gee whiz, Batman! What happened?
Bang, bang, shut me down.
Is this the end of Batman? Stay tuned to this record. So far, Batman's grandmother has been kidnapped. Batman has been shot. Robin has had his 19th nervous breakdown. But the best is yet to come.
Batman! Batman! Speak to me!
Baby, I can't make it without you.
Jumping Jupiter, Batman! Grandmother is kissing the Green Beret!
It's sign of the times!
Batman! Batman! Where are you going?
To the Batroom, Robin.
Well, how was it, Batman?
It was exciting!
Holy mackerel, Batman! The Green Beret has fallen through that trap door into his own alligator pit.
He's a real nowhere man.
Once again, Batman and Robin have foiled another arch criminal. Back at the Batcave.
Wowee, Batman, look at this telegram. Grandmother has been drafted.
This is Walter Funkheit on the campus of Fun City College, where a slight difference of opinion seems to be taking place between the students and the local authorities, who say... With me is Mr. Happiness, Mayor Daley of Chicago. Mr. Mayor, what do you see here today?
Hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The student leader is replying to Mayor Daley.
Thank you, baby!
We switch you now to the White House in Washington. The president has a statement to make to the students.
It's your thing. You do what you want to do.
This is Walter Funkite back on campus. One of the students has an important question.
Where's the playground, Susie?
Governor Wallace has come up from Alabama for a few laughs. Governor, what do you see taking place here?
I see the moon rising.
A student has something to say to Governor Wallace.
To know you is to love you.
We switch you again to Washington, where we hear Vice President Agnew finishing his speech. This is Walter Funkite back on campus again. The tension is mounting. Here is Adam Clayton Powell. Mr. Powell, what is it you really want?
I don't want nobody to give me nothing.
There's Hubie Humphrey. What seems to be the trouble?
I've been hurt.
Mayor Lindsay and the city council have come to Fun City College at their own expense to say something of momentous importance.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Together in the throng are Governor Regan and Rap Brown. Governor, where did you two first meet?
In the ghetto.
Mr. Brown, how does a controversy like this usually end?
Only the strong survive.
This is Walter Funkite signing off with the playing of my theme song. Walter Funkite at Mission Control, Downtown Earth. Here with me are astronauts Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins. What was the first thing you saw when you set foot on the moon?
That's very funny.
This is Walter Funkite.
Who cares?
Mr. Armstrong, what would you say was the strangest thing you saw on the moon?
A boy named Sue.
Colonel Aldrin, from the samples you took, what did you find that the moon is made of?
I'm going.
Colonel Collins, how did it feel to be the only one left in the command module?
One is the loneliest number.
And Colonel, what were you doing while the others were down there on the moon?
Listen to that good old rock and roll.
Mr. Moonman, were you afraid when you saw the lunar module approaching?
No, I was
laughing.
What were you thinking when you saw our astronaut planting the American flag on your moon?
I've got to call up this man, Father.
This is Walter Funkite.
Oh, shut up, Walter, and let me say something.
And just what does that mean, wise guy?
Guess it's time for the judgment day.
Gentlemen, what did you miss most being so many miles away from Earth? Could you tell us scientifically how the return flight was accomplished?
I can tell you that.
What goes up must come down.
Now that you're back on Earth, what will you be doing?
Working on a new
baby. Yeah. This is Walter Funkite signing off with the playing of my theme song.
Hello again, everyone. This is Howard Coast. Start again. I did his real name. Hello again, everyone. This is Coward Hosell speaking of ecology.
Can you dig it for right off?
Shut your mouth.
We are here today at the White House in Washington. Mr. President, did you know that the White House lawn is full of litter?
I know.
And Mr. President,
I know, Mr. President,
just what do you think all that litter is going to do to the White House?
Make it funky!
On my right is Vice President Agnew. Sir, who do you blame for the problems of pollution and litter?
Please, please, President, please,
On my extreme right is Governor Wallace of Alabama. Governor, who do you think is responsible for all the litter and pollution?
Only you know and I know.
Governor Wallace, when do you feel that the ecology problem first started?
The night they drove on their city down.
Heading this way is New York's Mayor Lindsay. How do you feel as a former Republican to be here at the White House?
It's a thin line between love and hate.
How do you feel the president is handling the problem of ecology? With me is Governor Reagan of California. Governor, what are the effects of the air pollution and smog in Los Angeles?
The morning sun, when it's in your face, really shows your age.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
I just told you I do, Governor. Oh, Mr. President, one last question, please. Will we ever give up the fight for ecology?
No, never, never, my love.
Those are pretty strong words. This is Coward Hosell saying,
so long, neighbors and friends.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. Superfly is missing.
Good God!
We now take you to our on-the-spot reporter.
I have several witnesses here with me. Sir, when was the last time you saw Superfly?
It was the 3rd of September.
And you, sir, can you describe the suit Superfly was wearing?
Red, yellow, black, white, and brown.
And you, sir, who was the last person Superfly was seen with?
Mrs. Jones! Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones.
If we need you for any further information, can we call you?
Whenever you call me,
we take you now to Washington.
We're here at the White House. The president has an important announcement regarding Superfly. Mr. President, what seems to be the problem?
I got ants in my pants and I need to dance.
Just arriving at the White House is the man that will risk his neck for brother man. Chair, now that the president has called you into the case, what will you be doing?
Chasing women and drinking.
Mr. President, what is your opinion of Chair?
This cat Chef is a bad.
Shut your mouth. I see the president and Chef have gone into the White House.
What they do?
Mr. President, what are you and Chef doing in there?
Holding hands, making all kinds of plans.
Mr. President, why are you holding hands with Chef?
Could it be a falling in love?
I've just been handed a bulletin. Superfly was last seen
in Egypt and Israel too.
We take you back to our on-the-spot reporter.
I'm here with Freddy, who we believe knows the whereabouts of Superfly. Excuse me, Freddy.
Ah!
Wait a minute, what happened?
It is dead.
Freddy's dead.
That's what I said.
Oh, well, I have several other witnesses. Do you know where Superfly is?
We know, they know, and you know and I know.
I don't know. How do you know?
Your best friend wrote and told me.
And just who is my best friend?
Superfly. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
How you feel, brother? You feel good?
Mr. President, now that you're elected, what will you do? What will this country be like with you as president?
We're gonna have a bunch of good times.
Have you any other statement?
I love you, baby.
The president is just leaving. Wait a minute. An emergency has just come up. The president's car has been stolen. We repeat, the president's car has been stolen. We take you now to the White House parking lot.
I'm here with the parking attendant. Mr. Nixon, didn't you used to be in politics? What happened?
Some people lose and some folks win.
But why are you here parking cars?
Somebody won't you bend you down and out.
With me now is the new head of the FBI, Superfly. What kind of car did the president have?
One of a kind.
In order to solve this case, is there anything you need to know about the car?
When it go round in circles.
We return you now to the White House.
We're back at the White House with the president. The vice president seems to be having a problem at the gate.
Get on me, man. I'm with him. Let
in.
The president is shouting something to the vice president.
Hey, you! Get off my mountain.
And the vice president is shouting back.
There's no me without you.
Here with me now is John Schaff. Mr. Schaff, can you describe the man who stole the president's car?
He's a jack of all trades and a master of none.
You mean it was the vice president? I knew there was something funny about that dude.
He's the funkiest worm in the world.
Well, now that the case is solved,
it's time to get down now. Yeah. It's time to get down now.
Yeah. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Let's get it on, baby!
Article 1. Congress shall consist of a Senate, a House of Representatives, and... Article 2. The President shall hold his office 4 years, and together with the Vice President...
Take a free ride!
In case of the removal of the president from office, he shall be...
Oh, Matt, fix that train to Georgia.
Before he enter on the execution of his office, the president shall take the following oath.
I love you, and that's all I know.
The president and vice president shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of...
Trying to make a living and doing the best I can.
Article 3. The judges of the Supreme Court shall hold their offices until they be...
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Article 4. The citizens of each state shall be entitled to...
Take off, drop them.
Article 5. The Congress shall propose amendments to this Constitution.
If you can, if you can.
Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law... Could you keep it down a little?
I know, darn well.
Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting and establishing... Could you keep it down a little? Amendment 1. Congress shall make no... Would you keep it down? Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting... Would you shut up? Amendment 1. Shut up! And now for the news, we take you to the White House. Mr. President, have you any statement regarding Watergate?
Mama Ku, Mama Sa, Mama Ku, Mama Sa.
How would you describe the Watergate incident?
Oh my God.
Mr. President, what were you doing at the time the incident took place?
Dragon wise, Cody Ode, Dragon wise.
And how do you feel about it now?
Here I am, stuck in the middle.
Mr. President, what will your position be from now on?
No more, Mr. Nice.
This is 1973. What will you be saying at election time in 1976?
It's been 3 long years. Do you still want me?
Still want me?
Just arriving is the First Lady. How would you describe the president?
He's a free and gentle flower growing wild.
With me now is John Snitchell. And Mr. Snitchell, who do you believe was responsible for Watergate? In a phone call, Mrs. Snitchell had this to say.
He's the funkiest worm in the world.
Here with me is John Bean. Sir, how do you think the president will wind up at the end of all this?
Reeling in the years, stowing away the time.
Mr. President, what do you feel you have going in your favor?
I knew Jesus before he was a superstar.
Have you any final message for the American people?
You are the sunshine of my life.
This record is not over. The vice president has just arrived. Sir, can you tell us who will be the next president of the United States?
Me.
the White House for a special report on the energy crisis. Mr. President, have you any statement?
Leave me alone, just leave me alone.
Mr. President, what really caused the energy crisis?
Smoking in the boys' room.
During the crisis, how much gas will motorists be allowed?
Just enough for the city.
Who do you believe the gas shortage will affect most?
Hello, hello, we are.
Mr. President, the crisis must be solved. What do you intend to do?
Keep on playing those mind games.
With me now is the head of the Federal Energy Office. Sir, you hold an important position. What are your qualifications?
I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight talker.
Mr. President, have you anything to add?
Leave me alone, just leave me alone.
We have a long-distance call from Saudi Arabia. King Faisal, is that you?
Hello, it's me.
King Faisal, what are your thoughts when you look out at all those oil wells?
You're beautiful, and you're my, oh my.
I have gold to my ear of Israel on the other phone. What should I tell her?
Won't you tell her that I love her?
Mr. President, have you any added comment?
Leave me alone, just leave me alone.
We'd like to continue this record on the energy crisis,
but we have just run out of energy.
From Washington, a special news conference with President Ford. And now, here's Jerry. Well, Mr. President, what do you think of that welcome? What was it like when you first became president?
Brother, what a night it really was.
How would you describe the present economy?
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
What do you think will help get our nation moving again in the right direction?
Why would we?
Sir, when you met with Secretary of State Kissinger, what was the first thing you said to him?
Tell me something good.
What important secret did the Secretary of State tell you?
I shot the sheriff.
Mr. President, one of the biggest problems facing the country is inflation. What do you intend to do about it?
Clap for the wolf man.
And if that doesn't work, what will you do?
I'm leaving it all up to you.
Mr. President, I've just received a special message from Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts.
Please come to Boston.
Have you any reply to the senator's message?
What can I say? What am I gonna do?
Mr. President, what will you be doing during your term in office?
Taking care of business and working overtime.
So that's the story, Jerry? That's the story. This has been a special news conference with President Ford. That's it. Thank you, Mr. President. Go to the commercial, Harry. Harry, we seem to be having a technical problem, Mr. President. Could you keep talking? Will you go to the commercial, Harry? Harry, please keep talking, Mr. President. Harry? Now, on this station, some conversation about the situation of inflation in the nation. Mr. President, inflation has gotten out of hand. Who do you believe is really responsible for causing this situation?
Baby Bumble and the Stingers, Martha Hooper, Rachel Singers.
Mr. President, what can we as Americans do to stop inflation?
Whatever gets you through the night.
And what will you be doing during this difficult crisis?
Stepping in now.
With me now is Nelson Stonyfeller. Sir, what advice do you have about spending money during these hard times?
Go on and do it. Do it. Be satisfied.
Among the famous people here is heavyweight champ Muhammad Ali. Muhammad, what will it take to knock out inflation? There's Governor Wallace of Alabama. Governor, would you repeat what you just said to Muhammad Ali?
You're the first.
In a move against inflation, the president has just refused a collect phone call from Henry Kissinger. Mr. President, why didn't you pay for the call?
Oh, I never did give nothing to the tin man.
There's the doorbell. Why, it's Henry Kissinger.
How did you get here so fast?
I straddled that Greyhound and rode him into Raleigh and on across Carolina.
Mr. Kissinger, what are people in the rest of the world saying about inflation? I believe the president has a final bit of advice for the American people.
You got stock and smell the roses.
We've all got to try to solve this problem because inflation in the nation is running away faster and faster, and if we don't stop it soon, it's going to go higher and higher and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster.
We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it?
Dynamite!
And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, mister, please.
I know sharks are stupid, but what did you think when you took that first bite?
How sweet it is.
Mr. Jaws, before you swim out to sea, have you anything else to say? With me now is the local sheriff. Sheriff Brody, the shark will be back for lunch. What do you intend to do?
Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight.
Just arriving is oceanographer Matt Hooper. Sir, if someone is attacked by a shark, what should they do?
Do the hustle.
We are going aboard the fishing boat of Captain Quint. Captain, will you be able to catch this giant shark?
I will.
Thank you, Captain. Captain, when you catch one of these sharks, what do you feel like?
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
We've just sighted the shark again. He's coming straight for us. Captain Quint is shouting something at him.
Get your baby one of these nights.
Hey, Jaws, the captain says he's going to catch you. What do you think of that? Uh-oh, here he comes again. They've hit him. Mr. Jaws, why doesn't anything seem to hurt you? He's coming right onto the boat. Mr. Jaws, why are you grabbing my hand?
Wouldn't you give your hand to a friend?
No, wait. Mr. Jaws, that's not the way this record is supposed to end. Help! Help! Where a 40-foot gorilla has just kidnapped Guan, a young actress. Hey, Kong, what did you tell her?
Tonight.
And what did she say to you?
You've got a cute way of talking.
When do you intend to let her go?
After loving.
Guan, if you can hear me up there, what advice do you have for someone who is kidnapped by a 40-foot gorilla?
Joy set, joy set, joy set.
Thank you, Juan. Juan, okay. Kong, you're going to New York to do a concert. While you're there, where are you going to take a bath?
At the car wash.
One last question before you go. What do you call that weird way you walk? We are here in New York where the stadium is filled. Kong, what do you feel like with all these people around?
Just a
breaking loose. He doesn't want to do the concert. Duan, say something to him.
You don't have to be a star, baby.
He's heading for the World Trade Center. We'll have to get help to stop this monkey.
Hot bun. Calling on the hot bun.
Kong has reached the Trade Center. He's climbing to the top. Kong, what are you doing up there?
Writing something nasty on the wall.
We are here with Kong on top of the World Trade Center. Army helicopters are shooting at him. Kong is shouting something up at them.
Hand me down the walking cane. Hand me down my hat.
They've hit him. Kong, have you any last words to say to Duan? Hey, Kong! You're on my foot! We're falling! Kong! Kong! Kong!
We are here at the White House for a special report on the energy crisis. Mr. President, how would you describe the energy problem? How would you sum up the steps you've taken so far to ease the situation?
Sensible, logical, or responsible.
Mr. President, how fast will the price of gasoline continue to rise? And for the millions of Americans waiting for the gas shortage to end, have you any message?
I'm the man who loves you inside and out.
With me now is Energy Commissioner Schlesinger. Sir, what are you doing to help conserve energy?
I try to get undressed without the light.
Can you tell us why Governor Brown of California is not here at this conference?
He's a working pump of gas.
I have a long-distance phone call from Governor Brown. Mr. President, have you anything to say to the governor?
Run.
Mr. President?
Free.
Mr. President?
Run.
Mr. President? That's enough.
Free.
Just arriving are President Sadat of Egypt and Prime Minister Begin of Israel. Gentlemen, have you any comment?
We both are so excited because we're reunited.
With me is Senator Ted Kennedy. A senator, I see the head of the oil industry, the energy commissioner, and the president are coming to join us. Have you anything to say?
Here come the jesters. One, two, three.
Mr. President, what is your attitude towards Senator Kennedy?
We are family.
Mr. President, have you a final statement for the American people?
I want you to want me.
We are going into the president's car for an on-site inspection of the energy situation. Mr. President? Mr. President? Looks like the president's car is out of gas.
We are here on the planet Krypton, where a spaceship carrying a tiny baby is about to be sent to Earth. Super Baby, what will you do on Earth?
We are here on Earth 30 years later with Clark Kent. Mr. Kent, besides being a mild-mannered reporter, what are you really like?
I'm a soul man!
One last question. Mr. Kent? Mr. Kent! We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter, Lois Lane.
We're here with Superman. Super, why did you really come to Earth?
It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
I've heard you have X-ray vision. What can you see when you look at me?
Ooh, fire.
I wonder if he knows what I'm thinking right now. Super, everyone knows you're able to fly. What can I do to make me fly? Now back to you.
We are here at the hideout of arch-villain Lex Luthor. Mr. Luthor, if your plan for a giant earthquake is successful, what will happen? But look, up in the sky, it's Superman! Superman has stopped the earthquake and saved Lois Lane. Well, Mr. Luthor, have you any last words to say to Superman?
You had to be a big shot, didn't you?
And as Superman and Lois Lane fly off to the Super Disco, we hear Lois Lane saying,
baby, please.
And Superman saying,
baby, please.
Here is a special election report. Governor Reagan, what do you have to tell the American people?
I will be your knight in shining armor.
With me now is President Carter. Mr. President, how have you handled your first 4 years in office?
Upside down.
And how do we know you'll be able to change things?
You have to believe we are magic.
Mr. President, what would you say is the worst problem facing our nation?
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
And what is the only thing that will solve this problem?
Just one little bit of love.
Can you tell us,
Why do you think you should be reelected?
Don't ask me why.
Governor Reagan, have you anything to add?
I will be your knight in shining armor.
I have a long-distance phone call from John Anderson. Mr. Anderson, I hear you've been out campaigning. Where are you now?
Xanadu.
Where?
Xanadu.
Mr. Anderson, have you any message for the American people? Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Anderson? Mr. Anderson? Mr. Anderson? Wait, why are you leaving?
When it's late in the evening and all the girls out on the stoops, yeah.
Governor Reagan, have you anything further to say?
I will be your knight in shining armor.
Mr. President, before this record ends, how would you sum up Election 80?
Still rock and roll to me, to me, to me, to me.
Can somebody turn the record off?
To me.
For a special election report, President Reagan, if you're reelected, what will you tell the American people?
Let's go crazy.
And if you're not reelected, what will you tell them? Mr. President, with regard to national defense, how would you describe yourself?
Bang, bang, I am the warrior.
And just what is your defense policy? Oh, Mr. Mondale, can you tell us what is the worst thing that has happened to you in this election campaign?
I had a dream. I was swept away.
It appears that you are behind in this campaign. Is there anything you can say to change that?
Starlight, starlight, the star I see tonight.
Mr. Mondale, can you tell us why did you pick Ms. Ferraro as your running mate?
She's simply awesome.
And what is the one thing that Ms. Ferraro, President Reagan, and you have in common? President Reagan, how do you feel about Mr. Mondale having the first woman running mate?
Some guys have fallen in love.
President Reagan is just leaving. Wait, I believe he's asking Ms. Ferraro something.
Who's gonna drive you home tonight?
Mr. Mondale, did Ms. Ferraro say anything to President Reagan?
Is this the train to Desert Moon? Was all she said.
There's a phone call for you, Mr. Mondale. It's President Reagan.
I just called to say I love you.
Well, I guess this is it for our election report.
If this is it.
I just said this is it.
Uh-huh.
So this is it.
If this is it.
I said this is it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is it.
If this is it.
We interrupt this program for a special report on safe sex. With me is President Reagan. And Mr. President, why are you here?
Because I'm there, I'm there.
And how did you find out about this important crisis?
I heard a rumor.
And just who do you think started the rumor?
Oh, Casanova.
Mr. President, safe sex is not a rumor. Tell us exactly, what have you been doing about this crisis?
When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall.
And why are you doing this?
I'm doing it all for my baby.
Joining me is the First Lady. And Mrs. Reagan, how do you feel about what the President just said? With me now is the Surgeon General. A doctor, since no sex is the safest, what should we do instead? And in your opinion, when is the best time for this?
When smoking sins.
Doctor, can you tell us who first discovered no sex?
Jerry.
And doctor, before no sex was discovered, what did we have?
Didn't we almost have it all?
We're going out on the street now. Excuse me, sir. What is your opinion of no sex?
It's all right.
And you, over there, what is your opinion?
It's all right.
And you, running by.
I just can't stop.
Back to you, doctor. One last question. Doctor, what is the one word for unsafe sex? Does anybody have anything else to say? No? Well, I guess this record is over.
The Mad, Mad World of Dickie Goodman.
That concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Doll Shoe Radio Creations, copyright 2006. Produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio, on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you'll join us again at this same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.